time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
To the Pain Clinic for November 26th. Holidays today. It's shopping reminder. Holidays today. Shopping reminder day. Of course, you can never forget to do that. Small Business Saturday, which is always the first Saturday after Thanksgiving. And I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Birthdays today. WWE Hall of Famer Ivory is 62. Tough Enough Winner Season 1 Maven is 46. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don's Delight Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show today. I'm your humble host, the Cashman. I'm joined by my cohorts in crime for the world of pro wrestling, the brains behind this whole thing. We've got DC Dan Cole down in, you don't look like you're in North Carolina. You're not. Are you?
I am.
Okay, you are. You're just in a different room.
My normal location is being used as a guest bedroom as we speak.
So they get to enjoy all your belts. And
I'm jealous.
And memorabilia. We've got Danger Boy joining us from Gates, New York. Danger, how's it going?
Good morning. Going good.
I see a tree over your shoulder.
Oh, yeah, that's been there for weeks.
Okay, I was going to say, I'd say... Jumping into the holiday spirit, we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling and everything to do with it. Hope you guys all had great Thanksgivings. It's still Thanksgiving weekend. You just go out and spend money. Blah, 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 blah. Nevertheless, we're going to jump. We got a lot of things we want to talk about today. Full Gear was last weekend, and we've got a lot of results coming out of that we want to talk about. And this weekend, in fact, later today, WWE Survivor Series War Games is on. This coming week, we've got SmackDown in Buffalo, New York, and WWE's in Rochester next Saturday. So a week from today, if you are a Rochesterian, kudos. You can go to Buffalo on Friday and Rochester on Saturday, or just go to Rochester on Saturday or whatever you want to do. But you can watch it on TV. I'll say that for Buffalo on Friday, but it's awful tempting. It's that close. We got a lot of stuff going on. But first, I want to talk about the Full Gear results. We had Full Gear last weekend. We spent a lot of the show pumping up Full Gear, and Full Gear was did not disappoint, I don't think. Overall, let's just get our opinions on the show. What did you guys think? I thought it was solid. I enjoyed it. Did not go too long. I mean, it didn't go into the next day, so that's a big plus. Solid matches on the show. I mean, so we expected a few things to happen, and Danger called it. If you guys were here last week, Danger called exactly what was going to happen in that main event. He said, I'm surprised. Did you text it to them as well? So they followed your script there, Danger?
No, they just have so predictable finishes sometimes. So knowing exactly how that was going to work out was a nice little crowning feather on my day last week.
I will say it didn't take a genius though, but I mean, with the way they were pairing up MJF and William Regal. Yeah. But overall, what'd you think of the pay-per-view?
I thought it was good. I mean, we had a good time watching it. It was fun to watch. I think the results that happened are ones that for the most part needed to happen. There was a couple surprising ones. I'm surprised the Elite didn't win starting off, but then seeing that they're doing the best of seven, starting then and telling us after the fact, was interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. Yeah, that was weird how, after the match is over, and that's just part one of seven. What?
Yeah, it's like, if the Elite wins a match, does the title change hands at that point? How exactly does it work?
True.
Because if they had won on Saturday, they would have been the champions. So would there not have been a best of seven? Does it work? Are they using their EVP status to pull strings? What's going on here?
I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah, it kind of did surprise me because, you know, that with all the hype of them coming back. But DC, thoughts on it?
Yeah, I thought it was definitely a solid show. Not their best, not their worst. But like Danger alluded to, a lot of the outcomes were kind of the right ones. MJF getting the win, you knew that was coming. I'm glad to see that Danger and myself were on the same page. I didn't watch the show, but when my wife asked what I was most looking for, I said Regal turning and helping MJF win. So, but that was great. Oh, great to see
I had it right down to the brass knucks being thrown.
Yeah, he slid the brass knucks across the ring to him. It's like, yeah, it's like that. That's a William Regal thing. If he's going to, you know, go heel, that's how he's going to do it, you know? So,
but I love seeing Jamie Hayter pick up the win. I like the outcome of Samoa Joe walking away with the TNT title. I'm really tired of the same old Sting Darby Allin match on every single pay-per-view. I think we can retire that any day now.
Yeah.
But yeah, another solid show from AEW.
Yeah, and they went and Jeff Jarrett, you know, they wanted to shoehorn Jeff Jarrett in there, so that's how they kind of did it with the Sting Darby Allin thing. There was some.
Just remember, if you lose your first match in AEW, you too can want to be the number one contenders for the tag team champions.
It happens. It does happen. So, you know, overall, you know, and what you guys in the chat room think? I mean, it was fun pay per view. I think it was a fun pay per view. It was, booked correctly with just the way the matches were booked and the order they were and stuff like that. I think it just, you know, there's been times where it's like we're dragging by the end of the pay-per-view, and I didn't feel like, you know, maybe it's because I didn't have to go too far after it ended, but and I could have hung around and watched the scrum. I did not. I guess apparently Tony was like the man in charge at the scrum too after that. He wasn't going to let anything get by him. I'm sure there probably was an edict about
until they use the thing against everybody and had MJF go cut his own pipe bomb type promo and just walk away, even though that was very scripted or not scripted, but very planned.
Yeah. So
right down to using Jim Cornette's, you know, trademark phrase to end it.
So yeah, it was a fun time, and I'm glad, and it's good to see things go in different directions. And I'm sure if the artiste was here, he would be complimenting them on getting rid of all the interim titles in the last couple of days. Because now I don't think there's any interims left, right? I mean, they got Jamie Hayter won, and then Rosa
give it a week.
To wait till someone gets hurt. Rosa had to relinquish the women's title, and then of course the trios champs are no longer interim trios champs. Someone's going to have the titles by the end of the seventh, and I would bet it would be the Elite. I'm just saying, even though they're down 0-2 right now, I'm just saying, I think that when it comes down to the end, it'll be, I mean, and we're going to get good matches. And like, I think what, I saw an interview, quotes from, Kenny Omega, and he said, by the end of this, you're going to know the Death Triangle a lot better. So I think it's what they're using it to elevate. I think like you much like the trip, like the Booker T, Chris Benoit, seven. I know I don't want to bring up the guy's name, but that was one of the big important seven.
Yeah, but those two people were relatively underutilized undercard people at the time that put on great wrestling matches. These are people everybody knows already. I don't think they need to do a best of seven for this.
Yeah, well, I don't like how they announced it, like right out after the match. You know, it's like, oh yeah, it's not over yet, folks.
The big Brandon Thurston suggested this on Twitter on Saturday. The reason that the Elite lost was so they didn't have to do the media scrum.
Yeah, and we were joking about that, I believe, but I don't think,
I also think it would have set a bad precedent to have them come back and win again. right off the bat.
Yeah. And
after the antics they allowed on Wednesday, they already set that precedent. So
yeah, and we're going to get to that. That's in my topics too. What had the things that went on Saturday, but you know, looking at the pay-per-view overall, I have it up here in front of me, all the results and everything. It was we didn't see, I mean, not a lot of title changes, just a couple.
Jamie Hayter won, which is fantastic.
Yeah, just a couple of major ones, and this is a pay-per-view. They have four pay-per-views a year, so we Chris Jericho won that four-way for the Ring of Honor Championship, which was a pretty good match. I'm not going to take away from them. We got to see Saraya defeat Dr. Britt Baker by pinfall in the first match back. What'd you guys think about Saraya's return? Anything jump out at you? Obviously she's got to take it easy and not do anything crazy. You know, no back drop kicks or anything, but she looked good. I mean, it was the first time back in, what'd she say, like 5 years, something like that?
Yeah, for not having a match in 5 years, she looked pretty good.
Yeah, you know, Britt, and she said Britt Baker, you know, gave all the credit in the world to Britt Baker for how that match turned out. So, not too bad, you know. It's nice to see, and the crowd went nuts, you know. Remember we were trying to figure out last week who was going to get the bigger pop. Would you say MJF got a bigger pop than Moxley coming out? It sounded like it. You know, he chipped.
Well, MJF's second attempt at coming out.
Yeah. I was going to say, he had to have that turn in that big poker chip before he could actually fight in the match. But yeah, no, it's true. There was we got some, Eddie Kingston lost again. He lost on Friday night, and then he lost again to Akiyama in a singles match. And you see, they tried to write a lot about that, even though we didn't know much about Akiyama. They tried to write a lot of respect into that, and Kingston
respect. I'm pretty sure. For most fans, the best part of that match was Eddie Kingston being allowed to impromptu lead up to the pay-per-view right afterwards.
True. I mean, you know, because before that we had Ricky Starks and Brian Cage. And so we had those three matches on the pre-show with the Best Friends 10-man tag. And I kind of assumed that we're doing a 10-man tag to start a show was a little maybe nod to Survivor Series a little bit.
I think it's a nod to everything AEW's done. They have those multi-man matches on every single show.
If you want to get on the show, you're going to have to be in the pre-show with a 10-man title match. Okay. We got Jade Cargill winning again, over Nyla Rose. You know, it's like, I don't see an end to that unless someone new comes into the company. Jungle Boy defeated Luchasaurus in a cage match, by submission. Believable. You tell me. You go back and watch it. It was, you know, it was fun.
Though. I don't think he needed to put on the snare trap after jumping off the top of the cage.
True. That and that's a big move, and that you usually should finish the match. So, then Samoa Joe defeated Wardlow and Powerhouse Hobbs by technical submission. Now Joe is two belts Joe. Let's see if the people chant it when he comes out. Who knows? Maybe. Sting and Darby Allin defeated Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, and it was no disqualification. So of course Satnam Singh and Sanjay Dutt got involved in it. That was just a little palate cleanser before we got Jamie Hayter beating Tony Storm by pinfall, which obviously people have been calling for a long time. I mean, I would like to see Tony have a longer run, but not as interim, you know. But Jamie Hayter.
Well, her title reign now, you know, looking back retroactively, is a regular title reign and is no longer interim.
Well, but okay. I was going to say, the Acclaimed, of course, this is amazing. The second to last match on the pay-per-view, which, you know, is pretty significant. The higher up on the card you are, the more people, the more they interpret people want to see that. So, and the more money you get paid. So the tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team Champions against Swerve and Keith Lee. Swerve and Keith Lee tease a split at the end. Yeah, you know, it was okay, though. I mean, the claim, you know, came out, and they had definitely had the crowd in their hands. So it was obviously, and, you know, from the get-go, Swerve and Our Glory looked a little bit disturbed with each other. So, you know, what was coming at the end of that one. And, you know, I mean, they talked to Keith Lee last week, and it wasn't Cleveland Jr. this time. It really was Keith Lee backstage. And, you could tell he says there's nothing wrong with him. So, you know, that means that eventually we're going to have a good good old turn, you know, publicly and, you know, in the middle of the ring. So, and then of course MJF defeated John Moxley with some knucks slid to him from Mr. William Regal. And I guess now you could say that William Regal is with MJF now, not the Blackpool Fight Club. I don't know what that means. I mean, I love the, they come out on Wednesday with Dynamite, and the first thing they do is Regal comes out and is gloating and everything, and then Moxley comes out, and then Bryan Danielson comes out to stop them from fighting. And, you know, I think they can drag this on a bit because we still – MJF didn't come out, right? He didn't come out on Wednesday, I don't think.
No.
Nope.
Yeah, so – and then they teased him for, I guess, for this next Wednesday. Maybe he'll come out and talk. But, you know, who knows how long this run will go and everything, but obviously, Mox isn't disappearing just yet. I thought he'd be gone on that vacation you talked about staying around for when Punk screwed everything up. So, he's going to hang around. I love to see them go. Those guys fight each other one on one in that group because they're probably the best wrestlers in AEW, or at least they're a great wrestling faction. What do you guys think? You know, I mean, where's this MJF going to lead to after this? Who's he going to be challenged by?
Well, first up is Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks did, you know, win that. He didn't have to win a big poker chip to do it, but he did win the whatever they were calling it, the AEW
the title Eliminator
Tournament semifinals earlier in the show. So that's true. That's true. And which was surprising because one, you know, Ricky, I was already surprised when he got pins over some of the other guys in this tournament, but I'll tell you, Brian Cage bumped for him, that's for sure. You know, I mean, he definitely played the good company man, we'll say, you know. And maybe Brian Cage will go back to strictly doing Ring of Honor stuff. I don't know if they get a TV show. But, yeah, it's so we got – and I don't think Ricky Starks is in line to take a title. Maybe you could start a good feud. You have two guys relatively the same size, you know, out there instead of, like, having – you know, I mean, there's, like, so many – singles wrestlers now that are just, you know, waiting for something to do, including Luchasaurus, who know, maybe they could rebrand him, or maybe he could come out and just, you know, I mean, he's definitely, you know, got world championship look at him and everything. I don't know. I mean, Danger, any thoughts on where we're going now?
Well, I think they're going to do the Ricky Starks thing till Winter is Coming. And then at that point, I think you'll see something emerge. I don't know exactly who it'll be. It might be Bryan Danielson. You don't know. Maybe they turn that somehow. I have no idea exactly where they're going to go after.
They could have the club fight amongst themselves for a while, and I'd be happy with that, you know?
I hope for their own sake, and because he needs major, major rehab, that they don't do Adam Page anytime in here soon, because he shouldn't be winning the heavyweight title again, and he doesn't need another loss in that. They need to build him back up.
I was kind of pulling for the other Page.
Oh, kind of wanted to be. I thought Ethan Page was going to win that title eliminator tournament. The Ricky Starks win was a little surprising.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. You know. And Ethan Page, another guy who's like, you know, I mean, he's like he's a you know, prototypical Vince McMahon loving WWE wrestler. I mean, he's got everything that Vince loved. You know, muscles, ability. He can talk on the mic, so it's like, you know, we'll see. Maybe hopefully we'll be going in some different directions with some of these guys. But, you know, Full Gear usually, the way the pay-per-views usually work in AEW is they reverse trajectory as soon as they're over for people who are champions now, and they get to work with other people and try some other things while they're at it and stuff. And, you know,
Last year they came off Full Gear and completely dropped the ball with the heavyweight title. So hopefully they don't do that again.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. 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 Well, so let's, yeah, we can forget that. That was also one of those ones that went forever too, by the way, that pay-per-view. So let's talk a little bit about, overall we all kind of give the thumbs up to the last pay-per-view. I think it did well. I think it definitely, I don't care if I can predict everything. I still enjoy watching, getting it to where it's got to go. You know, I mean, it's like, I enjoy the art of pro wrestling. And so it was a good night of wrestling. It definitely was. And it was, nothing too big surprising. You know, I mean, I don't know this Bow Wow thing backstage was. I could care less about it. You know, it's like with Jade Cargill. Is she going to wrestle a guy now? Is that where we're going to? And there's no women left for that title, so we're going to wrestle Bow Wow? I don't know, but let's fast forward a little bit, and we're going to talk about Survivor Series in just a minute, but I want to fast forward to Wednesday night, Dynamite in Chicago. And last week we made some we were talking about it for a while about how this, you know, certain groups were going to be up against a wall from the second they walked out there, and they knew it. But man, how can we not talk about the trios match, you know, on that with the little nods out to Chicago's own CM Punk like three times, that, and even, you're right, even the messed up slingshot lariat there, you know, that was a little Adam Page shout out. But Kenny Omega, when he did the go to sleep, when they were, you know, but he did it to the crowd, not to the camera. You could hear the people getting angry. I loved it. They know that. Listen, we've talked about this many times. Smartest fans in wrestling are AEW fans. Okay, I mean, they're the ones who at least are on the computers, and they're the ones who are there are chatting all the behind the scenes stuff. But what did you guys think about that trios match on Wednesday? You know, and as soon as they and now, yeah, of course, obviously they're coming out with Kansas Wayward Son every week now. They're gonna buy. They bought that for a while. I heard. I don't know what the. That's one of those the classic rock songs that kind of like burned on me that I just don't want to hear anymore. But they're using it.
They grew up in the Guitar Hero state, and that was a Guitar Hero song.
Yeah, so they come out to that in the pay-per-view. They come out to that Monday or Wednesday night. And then they proceed to have matches where they know the crowd is hating them the whole time. I'm surprised they weren't throwing stuff at them. You know, it's like they obviously they're taking CM Punk's side and whatever happened, and these guys are the guys who are back. And you know, the more I saw that, the more I thought, man, this is a work. This is a work. I just can't help but be skeptical about it. You know, especially since they were doing, you know, they did the go to sleep as well as they, you know, they tried everyone, you know, the Punk's knee lift in the corner they did, and they were just using. You know, what'd you guys think of? I mean, and the crowd kind of, I mean, they were more fun to listen to and watch than the match at times, you know, just because you knew we were trying to figure out where they were going next. What did you guys think of that?
I'm with you, Cash. Like, it's a little interesting how hard they kind of tilted into it. Although, you know, if you know you're going to get a hostile crowd, why not go full tilt into it? And the crowd was a little, you know, swayable, because I feel like at the end there were some FCM Punk chants going.
I thought the end of the
I
night.
I didn't think I would hear in Chicago.
And they had an FTR, and just the guys wrestling on the show took them away from their Punk hate or their Punk love.
Yeah,
you know. So I agree. You know, and it's like
the one thing I'm torn about is. Why not have MJF? You know, he just won the title. Why was he not on the show? Was it because you thought the crowd was going to be hostile towards him? Or
I think it's the opposite.
You think the crowd was going to love him? So yeah. Maybe that's even more towards the, well, maybe they are working out something with Punk to come back. Who knows?
Yeah, see, that's another thing. You know, sometimes they like to let the slow burn in too. You know, a lot of times a real good heel champion after they win will come out and just gloat. And I was expecting that. Didn't happen, though.
But I think they want him to be a heel champion, and I don't think he's getting booed in Chicago.
No.
I think that crowd is, that's their bizarro land. That's their Canada, is Chicago. And, you know, I understand the playing into the many brawl out references and all that stuff. If you're coming out and saying that this was the most rough 2 months of my life, my paid vacation I got for doing absolutely nothing, according to myself, and it's, you know, all this kind of, according to, you know, the Jacksons, they didn't do anything. So they had a 2 month paid vacation where they got to just hang out with their families. But you're coming out and saying that, and then you're leaning into everything that was said, you know, you're EVPs of the company, whether or not you want to be, you're held to a higher standard. It's already come out from multiple sources that nothing was ever looked at on CM Punk's side of the debate at all. Leaning into heel heat is one thing, and they should have done that. Doing specifics is just going to piss people off, especially someone who's very litigious and you're trying to work out a, your boss is trying to work out a deal for him, for them to be bought out of their contract, theoretically. If it's all
theoretically, work, yeah, you know, it's like
if it's all the work, and CM Punk comes back in 6 months, good on them.
Yeah, you know, and it's, and I mean, and it can be debated on either side. You know, I mean, obviously, you don't want, you know what the old saying was, is don't trick the boys backstage. You know, and it's like, there, don't you think that if Punk came back, there would be a lot of people that would be butthurt in that company? Especially, you know, we know the EVPs, but the EVPs are also wrestling geniuses. So they also are probably like, let's do something with this, you know, and let's.
The only reason to being wrestling geniuses is a very big stretch.
I know, but I mean, obviously they got to the point where they got named executive vice president of a company, that brand new company. I think that there's some benefit to.
That was because of a money mark, but that's a completely different debate for a different day.
Okay.
But the only reason for Punk to come back is he would have to work with those EVPs.
Yeah.
That's the only thing they're going to do that's going to make money at this point. So they wouldn't be the butthurt ones, but I think they would have some friends who'd be a little upset. Particularly one who probably, who almost tried to kill himself on national TV that we just found out about this past week.
Oh, you, Colt Cabana? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd he do? He did something that almost would have killed him. He
almost cut off all the circulation to his legs when he bought new socks to wear under his boots and had everything way too tight, and apparently would have, if he had cut off all the circulation, all that stuff, he would have had some serious issues.
That's weird. You know, it's like, that's a little bit too much inside baseball there for me. I think if you, you know, if you, your fault is for buying socks that almost cut your feet off. It's like, okay.
Well, he said he couldn't find his original ones and he bought new ones. It kind of makes you look dumb if you bought socks that were that tight.
Yeah.
And you did everything that tight to where you almost theoretically killed yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, and this is a guy who, them bringing him back caused, I guess, some issues still with what's going on litigiously. So, you know, it was kind of like, could have been seen as a, and I will use the word, the letters, a big F you to the guy who, is sitting at home rehabbing.
And that one I don't put on the EVPs. That one I put it squarely on Chris Jericho.
Okay. Chris Jericho. And then Chris Jericho. Yeah. It's still a lot going on here. Maybe Chris Jericho would be one of the guys who would be upset if they brought him back, but he also
very much so.
Yeah. I was going to say
he was over more than Jericho.
You tell Jericho that, you know, but, so I thought, what'd you guys in the chat room think? I mean, did you guys pick up on all that stuff? I mean, the announcers were saying what holds they were doing when they, you know, oh, you know, Omega's go to sleep, you know, and, you know, they were, so obviously they knew, they were doing it just for the crowd, because you could see them opposed to the crowd before they were doing any of those, any Punk's moves or anything. But it was a good match, though. I did enjoy that. But I just thought, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, baby stuff. It's stuff that, you know, Vince McMahon would do too, I think. You know, he would, you know, to burn someone.
It is very Vince-ish.
Yeah, it is. It is very Vince-ish to burn someone who's not with the company anymore. So overall, it's a pretty good show. You know, I did like, we got some solid matches on the show. And it's unfortunately this Rampage, I didn't watch it till this morning because I didn't realize it. And we probably talked about it last week, but it was on at 4:00. In the afternoon.
No, we didn't talk about it last week. I was surprised by it too.
It's like, what? And
before we talk about Rampage,
yeah.
Can we talk about Chris Jericho getting his chest split open?
Oh yeah, that was weird. Yeah. That was definitely weird. What happened? I mean, I'm going to
yield my time to Danger Boy, who's actually spent time in a ring. But I can't recall ever seeing somebody get chopped so hard it split their chest and they started bleeding profusely.
Yeah, that one's, I've been chopped pretty hard in my life, and I've, you know, you get the welts and they do start to bleed a little bit, but it's usually like a trickle. It's not that. I don't know what that was. That was something interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was coming from someplace else, you know, cause it's like, cause he didn't have it anywhere on his face. You know, it was like a cut in his chest. So
I don't know if like maybe he pre-cut to make it look cooler or something. I have no idea. But yeah. that was interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, and listen, I'm as much as we hate on Chris Jericho as a Ring of Honor champion, and I'm not saying we hate on him, but Rick Abani made a good point during that match that Chris Jericho has defended that title more times than the last five guys who held that title. I mean, yeah, he's got a nationwide TV show that he'll come out, and he's like a big star on. But I mean, still, he's been out wrestling every week defending that title against anybody who will come. So I give him a lot of credit for that.
And that line, I'm sure, was fed to Rick Abani by somebody, whether it was Tony or Jericho.
Yeah.
Because Ring of Honor worked completely differently back in the day. The heavyweight title was on the big shows, but you can't for the last year Ring of Honor was around in its real state, they didn't have shows. So you can't really count that as not defending. I mean, they had the title longer, but you can't hold it against the champion for not defending.
Oh, and they would do multi-week TV tapings too. And maybe the champ maybe the champ would be on to cut a promo and that's it. Talk about the pay-per-view that he was going to wrestle at in 3 months. But, you're right. He would never defend the championship. And it's we've seen some of the best people in Ring of Honor to actually come through and challenge him again, including our guy from Rochester. So it was, I enjoyed, so obviously that it was a fed line, but there was truth behind it as well. I mean, it's probably, it's a different world when you have a national TV show versus being syndicated to 700 stations, the way Ring of Honor was, they would, we'd get it here in town 4 or 5 times over the weekend on 3 different channels because they would fill where they don't have time to put in the paid programming, and whatever that might be, the air fryer or whatever they're selling, and I'm kind of miss it now because it's not on TV. It hasn't been for like a few months continuously on. So like even when I was working at iHeart, I'd get done with our show and then I turned the TV over and I could watch the hour while I was doing whatever was next after us. I could watch, but yeah, hopefully we're going to get a resolution soon for this Ring of Honor thing. Even if it's a taped internet show, I don't care. Just I'm tired of, your show.
He stated in the scrum, he doesn't really want to use YouTube.
He doesn't. He wants to have like a broadcast show then. Well, good luck, because that costs a lot of money to do. It's more of an investment to buy a company.
Thing when you got the established AEW name at this point, you're redoing your rights. ROH has already proven that it's not that big of a draw.
Yeah, and the way they did it, he'd have to go back to the way they were doing it with the multi-week TV tapings, because you'd lose a fortune just flying everybody in for these shows,
Which is why ROH almost, went under before Sinclair bought it.
Yeah, well, and I'll give him credit, too. Last night on Rampage, Claudio is announced as a challenger for Chris Jericho's Ring of Honor title. I didn't see when they were going to be wrestling for it, but it's like, didn't we?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. So I didn't see. Didn't Claudio already have an opportunity? Or he actually lost it to Jericho.
Well, he lost it, yeah.
And then he wanted to go 1-on-1 rematch, and they turned it into a 4-way on the pay-per-view. And so Claudio wants the 1-on-1. He's going to get the 1-on-1. So,
but if he loses, he has to be a sports entertainer.
Yeah, he's got to be part of the sports entertainment group. So it's like
an idea that made Chris Jericho's nipples hard.
I bet they did. Through all that blood and everything, let's see what else. Let's move on. Let's see. We talked about Full Gear results, Elite, Chicago. WWE Survivor Series War Games is today. We are doing the pre-show. It's a little bit early, but we are doing a pre-show for that. But the cool thing about that is that this week in the Western New York area, we have WWE in town next Saturday here in Rochester following Friday night's SmackDown in Buffalo. And so they're all going to be in this area for the next day the end of the week or so for a couple of shows, which is pretty cool because, if you're like in Rochester, you go to the Dinosaur, I bet you you're going to bump into somebody. Or I bet there's a couple of places in town here where you definitely will be bumping into wrestlers because they're going to be around for a couple of days. It's not like they're in town and gone to go to the next town next. They're probably coming into Rochester and driving to Buffalo and then coming back to Rochester, I bet. So, all you people who wait at the airports, don't do it. But I know you'll do it. So I'm guessing they'll know when everyone's coming in. But I think it's exciting because the one thing about this Friday night's show in Buffalo is that we're going to get the finals for their World Cup you know, which hopefully they do better than the United States has done in soccer so far. 0-0-2
Hey, it's England's sport, and if we tied them in American, if you know it was a tie with them in American football, there'd be riots. So I think we did pretty well against England.
Yeah, oh, I agree. I mean, and all we have to do is beat Iran now, I think, and that's yes. Tuesday. So, I mean, listen, we do talk about real sports on occasion. I just veered off there for a second because the World Cup is going on right now, and of course, the World Cup final in WWE is going to be this Friday night, and you definitely don't want to miss it.
Kind of a surprising final based on who was in the semifinal. Oh, I know.
Well, with the flippity floppity guy beating Braun Strowman last night, I was like, what? You know, you can see it happen, though. I mean, I think they want to have a good match for the finals match.
You think that was punishment for him? Because they're still setting up Braun Strowman and Gunther.
No, you're right. You're right. And I mean, and the winner of that does get a shot at Gunther. So it's like, you know, supposedly that's what you win when you win the World Cup. But, you know, but yeah, they're still setting up.
Is Shane McMahon going to come back and surprise win?
Yeah, he'll be this is not the best in the world tournament. Okay. We got Escobar and Ricochet, which I think will be just a great match to see live. And you know, if you're
going to say anybody that watched Lucha Underground is excited by that prospect.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. And it's like, but we don't need to see like the Legado del Fantasma come out and cause like they're the reason that Escobar beat Butch last night. And Ricochet, of course, beat Brown because of the idiots. What are they called again?
Imperium,
but I shouldn't call it them idiots. I actually enjoyed Imperium very much so in NXT. They're different named people, same group in WWE SmackDown. But yeah, no, it's good. Get rid of Braun Strowman out of there. Yeah, I wonder if it is punishment because, you know, it's like, because they brought that flippity floppity thing up twice now in two straight weeks.
Well, it looks like it might just be him doing a make good or something because he opened his mouth and he's trying to like prove he's a team player or something. But they're still going towards Braun and Gunther at some point because they had Gunther and Imperium jump Braun after the match. But I think it's like an olive branch or it's punishment, one of the two.
Well, listen, you don't want to see Braun Strowman in the finals of this. This is supposed to be a highly athletic tournament.
You could have just said you don't want to see Braun Strowman and ended your sentence right there.
Well, listen.
Also very true.
Well, they could have given us him in almost part two in the finals of this tournament if they had wanted to. And it, you know, but they wanted the most athletic guys out there to do it. So we're going to get a good match, I think, out of this on this this Friday night in Buffalo, New York. But, yeah, Braun Strowman, it's silly that I think, you know, just one line, you know, but I mean, you remember the old match he's talking about and it's like, there's nothing special. I mean, he did one move to almost and pinned him in that match. If you watch it, he sold for 4 minutes and then did one move and it was over. So, you know, I don't know what he was bragging about, but.
Well, the sad thing was that was the best possible outcome from those two having a match.
Yeah.
Well, so that's why it was getting a little bit of praise because it was the best possible outcome.
But I mean, we've seen almost.
I was just going to say the bar was set incredibly low for that match.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen almost do a couple wrestling moves, like a side slam and some other things. So I just, you know, it's like. I don't know.
Honestly, he shouldn't be doing that many wrestling moves. You're a 7'4" giant that's bigger, almost 2 foot taller than half the roster.
Yeah, true.
You should use that to your advantage. The fact that he just looks awkward doing it is the issue.
No, yeah, and you're right. You're right. He just has and to me it looks like he can't get up fast. We've never really seen him get knocked down and see how quick he can get back on his feet. That's a bad thing about big guys. It's like, you know, I'm not even a tenth of them, but it takes me forever to get up as well. Yeah, and like George is saying, Hogan could barely wrestle. Of course he could barely wrestle, but Hogan could wrestle. Hogan could wrestle when he started, and then that's why he created
Hogan could wrestle later in his career, too. Anytime he went to look at any of his Japan stuff, it's a completely different person.
Yeah, I was going to say, he went to his formula. He had a formula for wrestling, and when you got into a certain spot, you got the same end every time, and that's why I was not a big fan. You know, it's like, okay, he's no selling. Now we're going to see the, you, and then we're going to see the big leg drop and bumble, one, two, three, it's over. You know, and but that's how, like, you know, if you go back to all of his matches and pay-per-views, go back and just watch the last, like, 15 seconds of the match. I bet you they all end the same exact way. You know, not, and listen, Hogan was good for the business. Just, you know, I think he was a better athlete and more flexible than Braun Strowman or almost. Okay. I'll give him some credit. Okay. But so this weekend, later today is Survivor Series in a Cage, War Games. And I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be kind of fun. There's only a few matches on the show. So it's like, we'll go through real quick.
Well, the War Games matches themselves have to be at least a half an hour long.
Yeah, I know. Cause you have 5 minutes and another person gets in. Is that how it goes? Something like that?
Or it's 5 minutes to start and then 3 minutes every consecutive edition thereafter.
So before all, I don't know how they're probably going to separate. I don't know if they're going to separate the two War Games matches, because the two cages is a little bit harder to keep moving up and down, I'm guessing. But we got AJ Styles taking on Finn Balor. That kind of got pushed to the wayside, not really promoted much heavily, we'll say. It's not nearly as big as like the big matches. So we're going to get that. We're going to get Ronda Rousey and Shotzi for the SmackDown Women's Championship. They played a lot of that up last night. They gave They love Ronda doing heel. I always get scared when she's got a mic in her hand, because she just never seems comfortable, you know.
She seems a little bit better with one of her friends next to her now.
Oh, who'll grab the mic out of her hand and start and continue on with her thoughts? If you watched last night SmackDown, look at it. That's exactly what happened, because Ronda started listening to the crowd. She's like, you know, Shayna took the
mic
and just proceeded to cut the rest of the promo that they were going at. So we've got Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory in a triple threat for the U.S. Championship. Is this with Theory, whatever Austin Theory they're calling him now? What do they call him? The one or something? I don't remember what it is. But he's been getting, even though he cashed in his Money in the Bank and lost it in a terrible way. They took all the jokes away from him and all the selfies and stuff, and now he's a serious competitor. So I don't know. What do you think? You know, I mean, does Austin Theory get a run here at the U.S. Championship? He had it before, didn't he? Isn't it the same one he's had before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
already held it.
So he doesn't need to, but it's like, but we got a good conflicting styles. We've got Lashley, Rollins, and Theory. So just Theory sneak one out and walk away with a title here. Is this the big start for Rollins to go face, even though he gets a face reaction coming out?
Well, I mean, Rollins everyone thought he was going face after, recently, and then he comes out on Monday and is completely heel again.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they split off Rollins and Theory and Lashley. I mean, he's still got to have the rubber match with Lesnar. So maybe Lesnar comes out there and attacks him. Who knows?
True. I didn't think about that. I know that Lesnar's still in the mix for everything. So, I don't know.
No, Lesnar's opponent for WrestleMania that's being rumored is a lot more interesting than Lashley.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Lil Gunta.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be great. So, yeah, it'd be Lashley, Lesnar, full face. I mean, he is face, you know. I don't know. He's still... He gets a face pop. He comes out but he wrestles like a heel still, but doesn't do any like, you know, cheating or anything, but he's still, you know, it's still Lesnar and that power game he has. So, that'd be good. I'd love to see that. You know, we're not that far away. Listen, it's like, how far are we from December? Is like a couple days away. So
5 months.
Yeah. So,
and we're 2 months from Royal Rumble.
We are. Yeah. So yeah, not very far at all. So, the last matches I did not mention are both of the War Games matches. We've got the female War Games match, which we introduced the partner on Monday night here. It was the mystery partner, became Becky Lynch. So it'll be Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, who Becky Lynch kind of faced up after losing to Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. So I don't know I know she got hurt as well, but I don't know.
Well, if she got jumped. She got jumped by Damage Control right after she congratulated Bianca. So
yeah, but she also got hurt too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if she's still coming off that face from that, we got Asuka, Alexa Bliss, and Mia. I can't call her Mia Yim. Mia Yim is now having.
No, she's back to Mia Yim.
Is she? Oh, I thought they were calling her Munchin or something.
They were. It's a nickname.
Oh.
They're they changed it back on the roster page. It looks like they made a mistake that when they were calling her that, they decided they were going to put that on the roster page, and then it was changed the next day.
Okay, so Mia, everyone knows Mia. Mia Yim's been around this business for so long. I mean, I remember Mia Yim in Impact a long, long time ago, or TNA, actually, it was. So, but they're taking on Bayley, Io Sky, Dakota Kai, Nikki Cross, and Rhea Ripley in the War Game. So Rhea Ripley is kind of like the odd person out, I think, because Rhea Ripley already has her own faction with another group. But I'm looking forward to it, see how, you know, how it goes. I mean, if these can top anything that was done in NXT and the last few times we've seen War Games there, I mean, they're never going to top Adam Cole and the way he won that first NXT War Game. If you remember that, how he did it was a Ciampa that he pinned, I think. I remember it was like an insane move off the corner. I hold out hope. Okay. It's like, you know, and maybe Triple H being in charge is a good thing for this, because he really knows the, I mean, this is something apparently I've seen stories from other people, like Road Dogg is posting that, you know, he pitched this years ago and they kept saying no. And so, you know, now he's in charge, he gets his way. So we're going to get two War Games matches. I remember Io Sky with a garbage can on top, one of the ones where she jumped off the top with a garbage can on her head. We've got the right people in there, I think, for this. The men's one is the Bloodline, obviously. Jimmy, Jay, Solo, and Sami Zayn, of course, with Roman Reigns, taking on McIntyre, Sheamus, Owens, Butch, and Ridge in a War Games match. Now, you know, when they throw all these guys together, they all pretty much were either heels or faces, and now you're all mixing them up together. I think, you know, in the last like couple months, I think that Butch and Ridge and Sheamus really are now faces big time. I mean, would you say that they've like succeeded in becoming faces?
Oh yeah, the crowd turned them based off Sheamus's matches he was having, and then they've fed into it, and they've turned him on. Their internal sheet has him listed as faces.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and then you got McIntyre, who him and Sheamus had many, many matches, especially since COVID. You know, when McIntyre first won the WWE title, the Monday Night Raw title, whatever it was, the him and Sheamus, you know, that was his first series of feuds. And but now they're, you know, they were friends, because obviously you saw the pictures from Sheamus's wedding a couple weeks ago, and they were all dressed up together in tuxes, including, I believe, Cesaro, or, well, he went by Cesaro, but I thought that was interesting that they were posting all those pictures. But this ought to be fun. What do you think of Danger, you have more, I mean, you've watched all these War Games matches, you know, back when they had a cap on them, and
and Sid was powerbombing Brian Pillman into the top of the cage with his hurt shoulder.
Yeah, you know, so is it, you know, will this, are these ones historically set up to be like something, you know, that we'll not forget? Or do you think, you know, I mean, is it going to be a spot fest like it was in NXT?
Oh, it's going to be the NXT spot fest type deal. I think you're going to see a lot of.
Once you get Pat McAfee spots in there, remember Pat was in that one. You know, he did all
that was nuts in that one.
He did all the big moves. Yeah.
But I think you're going to see a lot of big spots. You're going to see a lot of film worthy stuff for future War Games. I think it's going to be interesting. I think they're going to be fun to watch. I don't think they're going to be, you know, historically as significant, because back in the day it was actually blood feuds and,
yeah,
you know, the end of things, but, and everyone was wearing a crimson mask, but it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to them. I think they're going to be good match. I think the men's one has great chemistry together, and I think the women's one could be a great match, especially if they break off some of the pairs they should do, and Rhea dominates like she should.
Yeah. Yeah. DC, have any thoughts on what we're going to see tonight?
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, it should be interesting. Both matches should offer their different strengths. I don't think we're going to see anything as good as what we saw, you know, in the original form of War Games. And I don't even think we're going to see anything as good as we saw them do in NXT. Despite Triple H, you know, being in charge for all intents and purposes now, it's still going to be more a WWE style match. So You'll see some spots, but I don't think they'll be able to match what they did with NXT.
I mean, you know, in NXT, they had, like, more agile wrestlers, I'll say, you know. Johnny Wrestling, Ciampa. You know, we've got Drew McIntyre.
Well, because for the most part, they let them go out there and wrestle their style. They didn't force them and wedge them into the WWE style of wrestling.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to see some stuff with Owens and Sammy that's going to be highlight worthy. I think Butch will shine a bit.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be interesting. I think it will probably rival some of the lower NXT ones.
I was going to say,
not necessarily the main one, the really good ones, but
I will say it's not a match for these 6'5", 300 pound guys, you know, I mean, because unless they're going to be like the bottom guy on, you know, to do the multi slam of,
well, that's 45. That's all it used to be back. That's all it used to be back in the original War Games, with 6'5" multi guys and Ric Flair hiding in the corner.
Yeah, that, you're right. And, but they also,
yeah, like I have no interest in seeing Drew McIntyre, Sheamus and Roman in a War Games match.
I never,
the other guys, I would definitely watch.
I've said the same thing about Money in the Bank. I've said the same thing about TLC matches. I don't need to see these big guys because, one, they get, you know, gravity treats them a little bit different than everybody else, and it's like you don't want them landing on you, and you don't want to see them landing on anything that they're going to break when they hit. But I think it'll be a good match, and I think, you know, it's like, and there'll be some surprises. Listen, we're on the verge of WrestleMania hype starting. I mean, the tickets went on sale this past week. And, I'm hearing, less and less about The Rock and Roman, which I'm kind of bummed because it's like they've been wanting to do that forever. And it still may happen, but maybe they're just
That could be on purpose, so to cool everybody's jets, and then it becomes a surprise again.
Well, when
we won't see the real dial up until after the Christmas season and everything, when everybody's attention can be more towards it going into, you know, Royal Rumble. But I think you're going to see some stuff coming up soon that's going to start pushing that way.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone, you know, wants to pay off. And you saw this, if you watched SmackDown last night, you saw Sami Zayn, you saw Kevin Owens come up to him and say, dude, you better turn on them before they turn on you. And they had Jay sitting behind the door listening. It was like, it was terrible wrestling stuff. But, you know, it's like, and you, the camera's on him sitting behind the door listening. And he's like, I just laugh. It's like, oh, there we go. We're turning into wrestling storylines again. And it's and then, of course, Jay confronted Sami Zayn after that. And he said, no, I didn't talk to anybody before I came in, you know. And so he obviously lied to him. So we're going to get a big turn coming soon, you know. And you know what? The thing about it is people love the bloodline. So, I mean, if, you know, it could go either way for what's going to happen with these. You know, they could both, one will be heel, one will be face, but who is, you know, who will it be? Because it could be either of them, you know? I mean, one's if you were sitting around behind a door listening to someone talk about someone telling someone else to, like, you know, you better stomp on them before they stomp on you, you know? And Sami Zayn didn't say anything. He sat there, just was quiet the whole time while Kevin Owens was pitching it to him. I don't know. This right there is the beginning of WrestleMania for at least a portion of that I care about, at least, because when we finally get the Zayn Owens team up against the Bloodline, I think that'll be a big money payoff. So we'll see what happens. But that was last night. So I talked about pretty much everything I wanted to talk about, except for, is there anything? Let's do some news. I'll go through some news.
We'll talk. Dominic Mysterio stuff from Thanksgiving.
Oh my God, stomping on his father on his leg.
the most viewed video clip they've put up in last month. In 24 hours, it made that. It had 7.5 million views across all platforms in 24 hours.
You knew it wasn't
going to. It was fantastic.
You knew it wasn't going to come out good when Michael Cole's going, that disgusting kid, you know, as he's like leading into the video, well, you know.
They let it out on Thanksgiving, so like it was happening then. But it's great because Dom's mom looks at him and goes, why do you have a camera? Why is there a camera crew with you?
What is she doing with you? You know.
Then you see Rey Mysterio come over like he's just putting his mask on because he knew that there was a camera crew there. So good.
And he's stomping on his leg brace and stuff.
It's the holidays.
Yeah, that you're right.
As much as I did not want to heal Dominic Mysterio at one point, I love it now. It's so good. It's so bad. It's so good.
It reminds me.
As long as he stays out of the ring, it's fine.
Sure. I just saw an interview with Rhea Ripley where she was talking about this past week. She was talking about some of the terrible, terrible things fans have been yelling at her when she comes out, you know, about like S&M stuff and just terrible, terrible things. And it's like, you know, come on, fans. I thought you guys were better than that. You know,
fans have never been better than that. Like when they threw the beer on Scarlett, it's like, oh, that's a big deal. That used to happen every single night to every single manager.
Yeah, no. When I was a kid, they were throwing beer.
And they were lucky if it was beer.
They were throwing beer five aisles behind us at the people in the ring. And so anybody who got caught in the splatter shot of that was, you know, indoctrinated into, you know, old school wrestling, you know? Yeah, no, that happened last week too. We didn't even talk about that. Scarlett got some lady thrown out for throwing a beer at her. And then, and the funny thing is, you know, in the olden days, you know, that was not a big deal. I mean, they probably would have thrown you out anyways, I'm guessing, but, they pinned down the girl who did it. I mean, it was like everyone, you know, and then they have there's some video of her getting dragged out as Scarlett saying something to her. I'm not sure. But, yeah, that happened this past week. I like, you know what? That's the thing was we were talking earlier. It's like, you know, how, you know, like they're in Chicago, AEW is in Chicago, and you got a hostile crowd already. That's where someone like Roddy Piper would have come around and got stabbed or shot by somebody because of some of the things he would have said in the ring, that because he knows that he could tell the temperature of the crowd. And he would just go, you know, and that was the beauty of old school wrestling is he would go out there and he – I mean, you know, all his stories about getting, you know, he was stabbed going to the ring in South Carolina and, you know, and, you know, it's just different nowadays, but it's like when you can, you know, it's like, it's kind of like Daniel Bryan when he started with the Yes stuff, he knew the temperature of the crowd and they were doing anything he was doing. And when he came out doing that, all of a sudden it was deafening, you know? So I think that, you know, that group in Chicago. I know that there was some stuff that was off camera that they did that got the crowd hot at them as well too, but it's like, but that's like where the old school wrestlers like Roddy Piper would go out there and say, I'm going to make some money tonight, you know, and so, you know, or I'm going to get killed, you know, because there's so many times he's been run out of rings after matches, after, you know, the famous story about him in Los Angeles, you know, in front of a Mexican crowd saying he was going to play the Mexican national anthem. It was like, it was a Cinco de Mayo. Cucaracha. Yeah. And he played La Cucaracha and they started rushing the ring, you know, so stuff like, you know, crazy stuff like that.
You can't really do that anymore.
No, you can't. You can not on camera. You can't, you know, you know,
ask JBL how that worked out.
Oh yeah, sorry about that. So let's talk about some news this past week that I had posted, and then we'll get out of here. WWE signed Gabby Butler to a contract. She's the star of the Cheer. I'm not really sure what that is, but People.com did. She's inspired by a trip to SummerSlam to meet with Stephanie McMahon, and her decision was she's going to be part. I'm guessing she's going to be an announcer or something, but
no, she's going to be a wrestler.
She's going to be a wrestler.
Yes,
very, 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 very pretty lady. So you know, that was some big news this week. I mentioned the Mia Yim thing. Was it Misha they were calling her or something like that?
Michin,
and she. But that's just a nickname, which is a Korean word for crazy. So, but she was Mia Yim last night. So last night, while watching AEW Rampage, we saw Preston Vance, number 10, turn on the Dark Order. Is there anybody left in the Dark Order? The worst thing is -1 was there watching, and -1, you know, like was giving him the what's up, brother deal when he was coming up the ramp and he took his mask off and threw it at his feet, and you got to see his face. Finally, we've seen his face before, but you got to see his face on TV, and he kind of like, you know, so we got a little bit of a -1 on TV this past week. It's just scary that is there anyone going to be left in the Dark Order soon? I mean, who's left?
Uno, Reynolds and Silver's. That's all that's left.
And -1. So it's like, well, you know,
and now, -1.
You got a trios there. So if you want to do a trios match, you know, I thought it was interesting last night doing that. It's like, you know, it's always good to see it's Brody on TV. I'm glad they're still using him. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's a family affair when it comes to Brody Lee's son, because his wife, His wife Amanda still works for AEW, so she's there doing stuff while Brody's getting to get some TV time. I love it still. So that was cool. It was nice to, you know, I don't want to see the Dark Order disappear because that meant a lot to Brody Lee's legacy with the company. And it's like the longer it goes, and probably the less we're going to see of them. But of course, Johnny Hungy's always great. He's always a lot of fun. And I love, JR loves to say Johnny Hungy. So it's like, and I'll give kudos to JR last night or yesterday afternoon on Rampage. He knew the show he was doing and he did not mess it up once. He even mentioned it was in the afternoon. So kudos to that. It was a good show too, though. If you watched it last, you know, if you watched it yesterday, like I watched it this morning before we did the show, it was a pretty good show. So I like, I don't know why it was, postponed or from, are they showing like college football or something on?
There was hockey on. I know that.
Oh, okay. Hockey.
But there wasn't hockey late. I don't 100% know what they were doing.
Yeah, neither do I. And it's like nobody's home from work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, or, you know?
Not many people work on Black Friday.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, it's a good. Maybe if any time, that was a good time to do it. We know when NCAAs happen, it'll be all over the place too. So last night on SmackDown, we got a new name for Sarah Logan now. She came out with the Viking Raiders, and they called her Valhalla, which I believe is... Hello, Valhalla, which is, my daughter's here. Sorry. Valhalla, which is, where the Norse gods go when they die, right? Something like that.
Viking warriors
go when they die, Valhalla. So, that was
kind of irritating that they gave her a name of a location.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, and it's like, how can you copyright that? Valhalla is like, it's like in ancient,
you can do it in terms of wrestling use or something like that, but you can't own it like a all encompassing copyright on it.
You are correct there. You are correct there. I mean, who knows how long, hey, say hi, Nicole. Hold on.
Look, no, this is embarrassing.
Okay. My daughter's visiting from Buffalo. So, I thought, you know, I was like, why they kept calling her Valhalla? It's Sarah Logan. And I think they did call her Sarah Logan once before when she came out. So, and then they went, actually they didn't. They said Valhalla. I don't know. I don't care. I mean, if they're going to push them, good. You know, if they're going to make them a joke like they've had in the past, I don't care. So going on to other things. Oh, so we saw also last night, Team Brawling Brutes will have the, what is going on? Team Brawling Brutes will have the advantage over Team Bloodline on the pay-per-view later today because Sheamus and Drew McIntyre beat the undisputed WWE Tag Team Champs, the Usos, to earn the numbers advantage in War Games, which is usually, you know, I mean, obviously the women have the, in the women's War Games, the bad team has the advantage. And of course, the good team has the advantage here. The good team has the advantage for the men's team. That'll probably be the last match of the night, I'm guessing. This week, some more news this week on AEW Dynamite. We've got Danielson versus Dax Harwood. We've got Jade Cargill and her TBS Championship celebration. The Elite is taking on the Death Triangle in match number 3. This will probably be the one the Elite wins. We'll hear from AEW World Champ MJF and Willow Nightingale versus Anna Jay. So that's what you have coming up this week on Wednesday night's Dynamite. Some news you guys probably won't be thrilled about, but I'm a little bit happy about. WWE Hall of Famer Ric Flair says he's scheduled for 2 upcoming WWE events. He's going to be part of the Raw 30th anniversary episode on January 23rd from the Wells Fargo Center in Philly. And he also will be part of the Royal Rumble Premium Live event on January 28th. So it looks like Rick's back in the good graces. Obviously, Triple H is in charge.
They can change any time, though, because Rick tends to run his mouth about everything and everybody all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I had to edit out what he said about this because he had some quotes that were not safe for radio or, you know, kids either. So he's got quite the mouth on him. So some other news. Uncle Howdy had his first piece of WWE merchandise. WWE Shop had released a new Uncle Howdy t-shirt. The shirt includes a Howdy face on the front with Bray Wyatt's red circle. Revel in what you are is written on the back. So Uncle Howdy, first of many Bray Wyatt inspired merchandise items. And if you're at SmackDown on Friday in Buffalo, you get your Uncle Howdy shirt or buy it for someone for Christmas. Former AEW star Alan Angels has, quote unquote, officially signed with Impact Wrestling. He's been wrestling with them since July, but he's officially signed. And now he joined Violent by Design, which turned on Eric Young 2 weeks ago. If you watch Impact Wrestling, but he is now known as Angels. So he is Angels. So it's kind of a similar name, you know, that, you know, Alan Angels, whatever. Jamie Hayter is your new AEW Women's World Champion. AEW Dynamite featured a segment where Renee Paquette announced that AEW officials have asked Rosa to relinquish the AEW World's title. And she did. Rosa agreed because of injuries after winning it. So now we are no longer have an interim champion. So there's no more interim champions in AEW now, thank goodness. Logan Paul's doctor noted that Paul suffered a grade 3 tear of his MCL. So last week when I was calling Fooey on his injuries, I was incorrect. He has a grade 3 tear of his MCL, does not take surgery. They rehab it, put a brace on. But Logan Paul thinks he'll be ready to come back next year, probably for the Royal Rumble, I'm guessing.
The rumor is him and Cena at WrestleMania. So
I saw that too. I saw that Cena wants to come back, and it seems like a perfect fit to take on someone who, you know, is a social media star. House of Black reappeared this past Wednesday. I didn't mention that at all. House of Black returned with Malachi Black, Buddy Matthews, Brody King, and Julia Hart. They came out and interrupted the 10-man match that started, or the it was champion Orange Cassidy retaining his title over Jack Hager right after that. Everybody was out there, though, at the time. QT Marshall, The Factory, everybody was out there. And then out came Julia Hart, and the House of Black returns. And I'm happy. I'm happy for him. Hopefully Malachi got all his stuff in order that he was having problems with. I'm a fan of his, and I would like to see them, you know, maybe, you know, push him a little bit or something. They've got a great team up, so that will be a lot of fun, I think. If you are watching, and I think this is one of the last things besides, we already did the pay-per-view lineup. So if you're watching today on Peacock, they're doing a day of promo stuff for the Survivor Series. The show kicks, they have a kickoff show at 7 p.m., but they have right now as we're speaking, they're doing a best of Survivor Series on Peacock right now. You can watch it on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok as well. But it's like they're going to go through and show. So the real classic Survivor Series, Peacock's doing a show on right now. Then they're going to do their bump show, which of course goes against us. But I won't be too angry because it's going to be on Peacock at noon today. And you're going to have people showing up on it. I think they got AJ Styles, Shotzi, Austin Theory, and a bunch of other people showing up to promote War Games tonight. We have the Ultimate Survivor Series War Games, which they will have the Ultimate Series with featuring Matt Camp, Sam Roberts, and Ryan Popola constructing the Ultimate Men's and Women's War Game matches. That sounds like fun. It's like a little fantasy booking. And that's at 5 o'clock today with the Survivor Series War Games. Like I said, 7 o'clock, the pregame kicks off. And then we're done with War Games for the year. Then we're on our way to WrestleMania. But I can't think of anything else we need to talk about. Anything else I miss we want to? I want to remind people.
The Randy Orton news.
Randy Orton's back, I guess, his back is not good.
He had his lower back fused, which is not a good thing. And he's still out indefinitely, and they don't know if he'll ever be back.
His wife took a picture of him in the hospital bed, so it kind of got everybody on fire online and put it on Instagram. So, we'll see where, so it's a little bit more delayed, but Randy will be back eventually, I'm guessing, you know, or never. But, anything else? I know that I wanted to tell people that 1 week from today, if you're in Rochester, New York, WWE will be here, and it'll be a mixed show. So you'll get SmackDown wrestlers, you'll get Raw wrestlers, and of course, Friday night before in Buffalo, you have SmackDown going on. You definitely don't want to miss that. Great match on there, for the finals of the World Cup tournament and everything. will be on that show Friday in Buffalo. And hopefully we'll be there at the Rochester show. I would like anyone in the chat room going to be in Rochester. We'll look for your signs. If you're going to go Friday night, man, do a pain clinic sign. I got a handful of t-shirts. Maybe I'll bring them with me when I go Saturday and just give them to people. You know, I don't know, something like that. But is there anything else I missed there, Danger?
Not that I can think of.
I know that we had an ESW show at in Buffalo, and I was going to have Rob come in and talk about it last night. It was at the, what's that place called in Buffalo?
Riverworks.
Yeah, they were at Riverworks last night. So apparently it was a good show because his voice is gone. You know, he and Super Beast were the announcers. So, but, man, Rennie, have a good week. You guys all have a good week. We got to get out of here. You know, don't forget we're here every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. And, of course, maybe next week will be the pre-Rochester show. You know, we'll do like a preview of the Rochester show, talk a little bit about what happened in Survivor Series. And I want to thank you, DC. I want to thank you, Danger. And thank you guys in the chat room. We'll be here every Saturday, same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later, folks.